Welcome to Cotetra Antonio's Mini. The topic of this video lesson is the rise of the idea of civil society in modern Italian political thought, a comparative studies. We'll focus on Antonio Rosmini and Antonio Gramsci, two Antonios. And our Antonios are one of the most important figures of the systematic reflection on that concept, which raised with Hegel, as we know, which had in the 20th century important theoreticians, and now at the beginning of 21st century is the topic of many of our hopes, let's say, for economic and political thought, which in some way results in crisis when we think about our traditional institutions. Let's say that the idea of civil society is some perspective in which we try to find new concepts. And in that perspective, to look on, to have some reflections on theoretical thinkers on that concept can be quite helpful. This is why we propose today this comparative study between Rosmini and Gramsci. And we hope, to give, with that reflections, some good contributions to the actual debate. The concept of civil society is a typical concept of political thought in European modernity, and it is quite noteworthy that Italian philosophers gave a significant contribution to its development. Indeed, in no other national political thought, we can say, civil society advances to that centrality that it does in Italy from the 18th century until today. Indeed, in no other country, the economic and political developments in modernity faced such a strong and articulated reality of civil units, which were the città with their specific self-government and economic self-organization. From medieval and Renaissance times, these cities characterized first of all the northern part of the Italian territory. Therefore, civil society had an eminent importance in the Italian nation-building process before and after the Italian unification in 1861. But the philosophical and political reflections of so many thinkers on this topic can be considered still up to date and interesting for recent dynamics also on continental level or in a global dimension. In Europe, we face the important challenge to favor the creation of a European civil society, and the international political and economic sphere, we get aware that only with an active and responsible global civil society, the recent problems can be resolved. Considering these actual challenges, it can be worth it to reread the philosophers who discovered this concept and to ask which values and principles they wanted to define with the new term civil society. The main political perspective which focuses this concept is the concrete formation of a politic consensus in order to legitimize political action. In complex societies, the consent of people is something which is produced in everyday life and not simply in the moment of political elections. As the first of our thinkers, Antonio Gramsci, points out, the stabilization of political hegemony takes place through various institutions to which people adhere and which form the civil society. Different thoughts, opinions, and individual dissent have to be formulated here. Fight majorities and fight for the hegemony. A concept which Gramsci developed studying Machiavelli, Croce, Marx, and the Italian and international socialists. As we will see, for Gramsci, civil society is the idea that the whole social life is the reality of everyday political combat. With this politicization of the whole civil life, he is a revolutionary thinker in the Marxist tradition. Our second philosopher, Antonio Rosmini, is quite of the opposite opinion. For him, civil society is not the whole reality of human life, which is in its social aspect rather articulated in three significant dimensions: the sphere of individual interests and economic relationships to the others in civil society is contextualized through two other relationships which are characterizing human person. And these are the private relationships of family and the universal relationships of all human beings in the universal human society. Rosmini calls these two societies domestic and theocratic society, and why he chooses such strange definitions will be cleared later on. In other words, for Rosmini, civil society does not end up as a mere sphere of conflict of interests and struggle of ideas. If human life is embedded in pre-social relationships, which are family and human beings. Respect to these two dimensions, civil society has subsidiarity character, which is based on three pre-political relationships characterizing every person's ethical essence. Therefore, according to Rosmini, civil society has to be referred not to the idea of hegemony, but to the individuals and their moral self-realizations. In this dimension, Rosmini stands very close to Alexis de Tocqueville. Both our Antonio search for a vision on society which is sensible for the recognition of individuality, particularity and difference. For Gramsci, it is the difference of social classes. For Rosmini, the difference of human relationships. Both propose a political philosophy of concrete situated subjects and refuse any idealistic thought which transforms political philosophy in the realm of abstract concepts. The idea of civil society in both thinkers is that any social and political reality has to be thought beginning with the concrete situation on the subjects within it. Maybe this could be defined the differences of the Italian idea of civil society respect to French or German thinkers of that topic. The meaning of civil society in both thinkers is further an answer to the crisis of liberal modern societies. In this answer, they both refer centrally to Hegel, who was the first thinker trying to elaborate an idea of civil society able to overcome the fragmentation of modern societies, which was seen in contrast to fundamental anthropological principles. A similar fragmentation we live in nowadays times through globalization, for we can understand the actuality of our thinkers. The modern dissolution of people's life world was described by the German poet Friedrich Schiller. That polypoid character of the Greek state, in which every individual enjoyed an independent existence, but could, when a need arose, grow into the whole organism, now made way for an ingenious clockwork in which, out of the piecing together of innumerable but lifeless parts, a mechanical kind of collective life entered. Church and state, law and customs were now torn asunder. Enjoyment was divorced from labor, the means from the end, the effort from the reward. Everlastingly chained to a single little fragment of the whole, man himself develops into nothing but a fragment. Everlastingly in his ear, the monotonous sound of the wheel that he turns, he never develops the harmony of his being, and instead of putting the stamp of humanity upon his own nature, he becomes nothing more than the imprint of his occupation or of his specialized knowledge. End of the quotation. Presenting now Gramsci and Rosmini as two exponents of the Italian political thought, we will recognize their extreme distance, a communist vision and a liberal one. Both are inspired by Georg Friedrich Wilhelm Hegel, the first thinker with an explicit theory on civil society. This gives us the opportunity to study two ways of thinking civil society, the formation of civil consensus in a question of hegemony or of right. First chapter, the point of departure, Hegel. Hegel was one of the first thinkers who considered not only the value of individual freedom and rights, but also of their collocation in a social sphere. He said, the right of individuals to be subjectively determined as free is fulfilled when they belong to an actual ethical order. because their certainty of their freedom finds its truth in such an objective order, and it is an ethical order that they are actually in possession of their own essence or their own inner universality. When a father inquired about the best method of educating his son in an ethical conduct, a Pythagorean replied, "Make him citizen of a state with good laws." End of quotation. Now, for Hegel, this preoccupation does not mean to condemn modern liberalism and to propose a return to ancient Greek or Roman society. Hegel was convinced that only the modern idea of individual and subjective right gives to the individual the possibility to realize him or herself. And Hegel is convinced that the conciliation of the individual liberties, which in the economic dynamics seem to destroy communities, traditions, and solidarity, is possible also within the modern individualistic society itself, in which the bourgeois follow individual intentions of emancipation and economical enrichment. The division of work is only the most visible form in which modern industrial societies create forms of solidarity. And with regard to the father of modern economic thought, Adam Smith, Hegel observed that in the course of the actual attainment of selfish ends, there is formed a system of complete interdependence, wherein the livelihood, welfare, and rightful existence of one individual are interwoven with the livelihood, welfare, and rights of all. On this system, individual welfare, etc., depend, and only in this connected system are they actualized and secured. But these individuality-based relationships are not sufficient to affirm the dignity of human being in its fullness. The same dynamics, indeed, let end up a huge amount of people in poverty and moral deprivation. To resolve these problems, which a liberal society based on economic success and the force of competition cannot resolve, he proposes a cooperative mediation of these dialectical problems of civil society. Civil society workers' associations and the implementation of fundamental rules of economics. He calls the modern liberal state external state, the state based on need, the state as the understanding envisages it. The Not- und Verstandesstaat, as Hegel says in German. That means it ensures the respect of fundamental negative rights and the functioning of the economic structure of society. And he introduced an important differentiation between civil society and state. Where civil society is characterized by individual economic relationships in order to achieve personal interests and represents the model liberal state based on need and understanding, as we heard, the political perspective of the state introduces the possibility of a higher union between citizens, which is the organic political union under universal laws and institutions. In the political life of the state, the self-interest of the individual is transcended. The way to encounter others in solidarity and community, not through calculus of interest. Calculus of interest, competition, individuality are forms of the mere economic processes which have place in civil society. And if we reduce state to it, we come to the external state, the state based on need. But Hegel wants to bring us to another conception of the state. Therefore, he implemented in civil society some institutions like economic rules, like corporations, and so on. And they make sure that people are connected between themselves, not only by interest, but also by another resource, by resource of solidarity, if we want, by the results of organic structures. And this organism brings Hegel to an alternative comprehension of the state itself, the state as an organic unity. This does not mean that Hegel identifies civil society with its Smithian and liberal definition. For Hegel, civil society has the function to provide a primary ethical integration by rules and laws in order to impede the destructive dimensions of individual liberty and to assure a minimum welfare level of society. He wanted to furnish civil society with institutions which would diminish the impact of the instabilities of the economy and incline its members towards participation in the communal structures of collective political life. Participation, common good, collective life. These are some of central words which characterize the Hegelian idea of state. The modern civil society is free from religious and political constraints, and the individuals find their proper dimension of self-realization. Therefore, civil society becomes the sphere of realization of the concrete person, not of the abstract individual. The concrete person, who as a particular person is his own end, is as a totality of needs and a mixture of caprice and natural necessity, one principle of civil society, says Hegel. Individual freedom could never survive, and therefore individuality leads by itself to the universality of civil society. Otherwise, freedom could not be established. Everyone has to become a son of civil society, says Hegel. Out of family relationships and realize his existence in a new social framework. Significantly, also the corporations in civil societies are called the second family. This is a new modern way in which the antique dimensions of household are realized. The Hegelian way to anchor rights and duties in civil society consists in the strategy of transforming the idea of family into it, conceiving civil society as a higher form of it, because it has individuality as its very reference. Family has not individuality as its very reference. This is where Hegel is modern, absolutely modern. Individuality as a point of reference for civil society, which then has to be brought on a higher level of the family of civil society. Hegel's idea of corporations should avoid the radical opposition between rich and poor and the social problems and revolutionary potential which emerges from this polarity. The polarity between rich and poor should be realized in Hegel's idea, but as well as in so many thinkers of his time, as well as in Rosmini and others, by a new institutional framework. When luxury, says Hegel, is as its height, distress and depravity are equally extreme. Hegel was convinced that the English poverty and massification of the poor were caused because of the abolition of corporations, but also because of the absence of the state. Hegel is familiar with functional coordination as a task of the state agenda, regulation and compensation of social problems stemming from the economic dynamics. Especially the corporations are the element which led civil society being a presupposition for the state and lead therefore directly to the integration of civil society in state. Indeed, in the associations, both the capability and livelihood are recognized, with the result that the corporation member needs no further external evidence to demonstrate his skill and his regular income and subsistence, that is, the fact that he is somebody. It is also recognized that he belongs to a whole, which is itself an organ of society in general, and that he is interested and actively engaged in promoting the less selfish end of this whole. Thus he has his honor in his estate. Individual becomes real human in his estate, which is his position in the whole. The necessity of this step from civil society to the state is based on the problem that in the civil society the freedom of each subject is still lost in particularity. Indeed, civil society negates the natural form of family and overcomes its particular altruism by the universal egoism. Hegel says family is characterized by particular altruism. Family is altruism, yes, but it's only particular. Here, person is not personality in its universality. There is altruism of father and son, son and father, mother and daughter, husband and wife, etc., but none of the person. In civil society, we have this universality. Everyone is an individual. But this individuality is connected with egoism in civil society, with economic processes and so on, with the division between rich and poor and so on and so on. So in Hegel, family is characterized by particular altruism, civil society by universal egoism. This is still a form of particularity in Hegel because it is egoism, although it realizes a proper ethical dimension of humanity beyond family life. And Hegel says, civil society tears the individual from his family, estranges the members of the family from one another, and recognizes them as self-subsistent persons. Further, for the paternal soil and the external inorganic resources of nature from which the individual formerly derived his livelihood, it substitutes its own soil and subjects, the permanent existence of even the entire family, to dependence on itself and to contingency. But while civil society stands still in contrast to the family life, only in the constitutional state these differences between family and civil society can be won. Indeed, two forms of relationship are here completed by the universal altruism. In Hegel, family is particular altruism, civil society is universal egoism, and state is universal altruism, which is realizable only in the modern state. As we see through the three dimensions of ethical life, which are family, civil society, and state, Hegel draws an anthropology of interpersonal relationships. From Hegel, both Italian thinkers learned that the differentiation of state and economy is not enough. We don't have to differentiate only between state and economy. And that between the economic structure and the state, with its legislation and coercion, stands civil society. Civil society is in the middle. But against Hegel and Marx, both Antonio Rosmini and Antonio Gramsci pointed out that it is not enough to understand civil society through the simple formula society minus the state. Therefore, both tried to find new paths for this Hegelian concept. And indeed, to a closer view, in the Hegelian idea of civil society are implemented two aspects which are not really resolvable in only one, and coherent theory. On the one hand, civil society produces already a form of universalism. And even if it is only an egoistic universalism, there are institutions which hold this in a balance. In this perspective, the duty of the state consists in the administration of this balance and in the guarantee of these freedoms which the individuals are able to live in a liberal society. The state is necessary, but for the guarantee of the situation of right which is realized in this society. This is one aspect. On the other hand, some thinkers hold that through the sphere of civil society, people should realize an organic social universality, which is greater than the individual sphere. Only when individuals are raised to the dimension of a social common good, they get free of their individualistic egoism. These thinkers take the Hegelian integration of civil society in the state, and therefore its primarily political function, as the main aspect of both. In this way, society is seen as a sphere of solidarity and participation, with special regard to those who stand on the border of the social, in its realization of the ethical state. While Gramsci radicalized this second possibility, Rosmini elaborated the first vision, which unites the civil society with the recognition of everyone as person. Anyway, both overcome Hegel in the point that not the state, but the civil society is the positive and active element in the political dynamics. For Gramsci, in its producing of concrete solidarity and participation, for Rosmini, in its aspect of assuring the dimension of right to every person. For both, civil society together with government and not government alone is the creative space where the people's interests find their expression and political participation. After this introduction to the idea of civil society, where it comes out, where it was formulated by Hegel, which intentions Hegel had with that concept, and how Rosmini and Gramsci took two different dimensions from Hegel, different dimensions which Hegel perhaps did not reconcile in a very coherent concept. Maybe in the Hegel in the Hegelian concept of civil society, both aspects are together, and it's very hard to decide whether one, which of both, are the most important one of them. It is very interesting to see that either Rosmini, either Gramsci took one of both. Rosmini the liberal one, Gramsci the socialist one, if we want to read them in that way, and propose two different, two opposite ideas of what is civil society. In our next video lesson, we will analyze what are the common and the different aspects of both. Thank you for listening.